Welcome to Pzena Perspectives, brought to you by Pzena Investment Management, a global value manager known for our commitment to fundamental research and disciplined value investing. This podcast is presented by Pzena Investment Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor, and is intended for institutional investors only. The views expressed reflect the current views of Pzena as of the date hereof and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that any projection, forecast, or opinion in this material will be realized. Past performance is not indicative of future results. In the UK, this podcast is for professional clients only. This marketing communication is presented by Pzena Investment Management Limited, which is an appointed representative of Vittoria & Partners LLP. Vittoria & Partners LLP is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Today's episode, the second in our Why We Are Active Value Investors series, features portfolio manager John Flynn, discussing the role of patience in investing and the history of market drawdowns.
Welcome to Pzena Perspectives and the latest in our podcast series. For those that don't know us, Pzena Investment Management is a global deep value manager known for our commitment and dedication to disciplined value investing throughout an investment cycle. What value investing means to us is buying good business at a cheap price. And we're able to do that because we find businesses that have a problem, that's either internal or external. And what we do is through thorough research, determine whether that problem is temporary or permanent. We're probably best known for the fact that that's all we've done since the firm's formation back in 1995, and that we implement our process in a disciplined and systematic way. My name is Adrian Jackson, and I'm based in London looking after a number of our UK clients. I'm thrilled to be joined today by John Flynn, who is one of our co-portfolio managers on all of our US equity strategies and has been with us for 19 years. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi, Adrian. Thanks for having me.
So you're coming up for your 20-year anniversary. I've got to ask you the question. When you joined, did you think you'd be here in 20 years' time?
Adrian, when I joined, the firm was just celebrating its 10th birthday. So to think that we're coming up on 30 years as a firm, you know, it's been in quite the journey. And as you know, so much of the team has been here even longer than I have been here. So when you look around, it doesn't feel like 20 years, except when you go look at the pictures.
Yeah, well, okay. These things happen. Listen, I'm looking forward to this chat. This is the second installment of our series, the title of which is Why We're Active Value Investors, which is actually the commentary in this quarter's newsletter. And in fact, what I want to do is start with a recap of the first installment. But before we do that, can you just give me your thoughts on what was a pretty wild quarter?
Yeah, it's been a pretty wild year too, you know, but definitely an interesting quarter. Lots going on with, we finally got the Fed rate cut. We've got China stimulus. Then last week, did we get the stimulus? We've got a sharp decline, then rebound during the quarter. Lots of moving pieces. And when you look at kind of high level in the US, what we saw, definitely saw value outperforming growth on the index level, but still down by 800 basis points year to date versus growth. So still a pretty big gap there. Similar trend, small versus large, where small beat large in the quarter, but still lags by 1,000 basis points year to date. But the thing that I think really characterized the quarter and the second quarter that we noticed and we've talked a lot about internally is just really big moves related to earnings misses, right? And when we look at our portfolios, it's generated a lot of buying opportunities, but on the near-term performance, it definitely has weighed on it. And so we're pretty excited about what we own, but definitely see a market that's kind of jittery in the short term and kind of having what we would say are oversized reactions.
Yeah. So as I said, this quarter's newsletter commentary, the topic is, you know, basically all about patience in investing. Was this quarter's set off the catalyst for that?
No, it's just fortuitous timing, I guess. You know, this is something that we've had in the works for a while, and I think we're pretty excited to talk about.
All right. So it's the second installment of Why We're Active Value Investors. Can you do a quick review of the first installment, please, to get us going?
Yeah, sure. So when we last spoke on in the first installment, we're really looking at, you know, how does value perform vis-a-vis other strategies? And what we did was really look at the universe based into five quintiles, you know, the cheapest 20%, the next 20%. And when you look back and saw how things did, you'd see going back to 1975 over 5-year rolling periods, value in the first quintile outperform both the broader market, but also that second quintile, kind of what we've termed value light, sort of a little less cheap and a little, you know, perceived quality versus that first quintile. And there was a, you know, so we saw that that value worked. And that in and of itself wasn't that exciting or surprising to us, right? We've seen a lot of academic research for years out there kind of with the same result. The other thing we looked at was just around volatility, right? I think a lot of times people say, well, value's riskier. And when they say riskier, they really are looking at some sort of trailing volatility metric. One of the things you see there is, yes, in the short term, on an annual basis, you're going to see more volatility in a one-year return in that cheapest 20% versus the broader market. But what's interesting is you expand the horizon, and we're going to talk about this more later today, but as you take that longer time horizon, those volatilities converge, right? And actually, the excess volatility that is there actually is to the upside in the cheapest stocks. And I thought that was a pretty interesting finding that we had last time. Other things we talked about last time was just the idea that, you know, yes, value works, but if you just take a value index, you don't get the same results, right? The cheapest quintile has dramatically outperformed pretty much every value index that, you know, any reasonable value index. And the last thing we had was just how the different styles do in down markets. And what we found there was that value outperforms in both up and down markets, and even more so in down markets than up markets.
Okay, John, that point on down markets is kind of a good link to this quarter's commentary. I get the idea that patience sounds important conceptually, but when you were doing this work, what did you find exactly?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's somewhat intuitive when you think about patience and kind of long-term investing. But, you know, in today's world, there's so much information available so quickly, and people are always tracking data points. And if you were just to look at the one-year range of what the ACWI has done, you know, for one-year performance, on the upside, you've had years where you're up 70%. On the downside, you've had years where you're down 50%, right? You could drive a boat through those returns. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that gets reinforced, and that's that needs to be internalized, is as you expand that time horizon, the dispersion of the returns contract to the point where if you're taking a 10-year time horizon, the range for the ACWI is 2% on the low side, annualized, and 25% on the high side. So really taking out that big swings and getting that positive effect. When you take a step back and think about value investing and how we talked about the standard deviations converging, right, in that finding from last time, it's really important to have that long time horizon to get the benefits of that value strategy and not let any period where you might have a bigger loss and a shorter time frame for value not have that skew the results.
I've got the article in front of me. The piece I like the most is the bit about drawdowns. And I know we did some work in the first installment on drawdowns. What do we do differently this time?
Yeah, in the first installment, we talked about down markets. And we define that as any five-year period where the market was down. Pretty straightforward.
Right.
When we talk about drawdowns, we're getting a little more acute and a little more painful, right? So we're thinking about times when the market was down 10% or more. And if you go back to 1975, there are just 12 incidences where that happened. So we're really looking at times when there's been pain in the market and what happens.
So we chose that 10% point because there's the perception that value gets hit harder in market sell-offs?
There's not just a perception, there's a reality.
Okay.
You can't fight the data that when things go bad in the market and fear takes over, value stocks get hit harder. And when you take a step back and think about it, it kind of makes sense, right? Where the value stocks typically are the stocks that already are unloved, where there's some controversy around them. And then we're layering on a bigger fear from a macro standpoint usually. And so those stocks tend to go down more. If you look at the performance of value and kind of quantify that, on average, that underperformance is about 450 basis points. What's interesting though, if you look at the time frame, from peak to trough, it's pretty much the same for value stocks in the market. So 10 months or so on average is the kind of the peak to trough. We'll say if you go to the internet bubble, you're looking at a 30-month period peak to trough. So there's a range in there, but mm-hmm. but the average is 10. And then the other thing we looked at that was interesting is okay, that's great. You get peak to trough 10 months. How long does it take to get back to where you started? And this is where things get interesting, right? Because for value, it takes 7.5 months to get back. For the broader market on average, it takes 14.5 months. So almost twice as long for the broader market just to get back to where you started. So value goes down further, but comes back to where you started much faster.
Right. That's interesting. In fact, where I want to take this now, when people do peak to trough work, we then talk about the recovery. You've talked about the recovery there being 7 months for value and 14 months for the broader market. But can you, you know, that's got you back to where you started from. What happens from then? That's pretty important, isn't it? You've lost a load of money. You made it all back. Great. Now what happens?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So we took a little bit broader lens then, right? So what we said was, okay, well, let's just say at the peak of the market, you make an investment and you hold that for 5 years. How do you do? So we know that if you invest in value after 7.5 months, you're back to where you started at the peak.
Right.
It's 14 months for the broader market, as we mentioned. But what's really interesting is that 5 years out, if you look at just the most expensive stocks, you're up 25% from where you started on average. If you look at the broader universe, you're up 35%. So a little bit better, right?
Yep.
Value light, that's second quintiles, they're up 65%. But here's the punchline, Adrian. For the value strategy, you're up 95%. Almost three times what the market returned over that period from the peak, even with that bigger trough. So it's not just that things recover faster, it's that they continue to outperform coming out of the downturn as well.
So value was three times the market in terms of its recovery. And I think you said it was 95 versus 25. So about four times versus the expensive stocks.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Wow.
It's quite powerful. And I think that goes back, tying this back to kind of where we started with that longer time horizon, right? It shows the importance of staying the course, right? If you, after the 7 months, were to sell value at the trough and then go back into the market, say, give up on that, you're going to be another 14 months before you get back to where you were, right? And then you're giving up all the excess returns beyond that. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, when we think about time horizons and investing, that's why we're looking out 3, 4, 5, 6 plus years and kind of not just taking a short-term view of where things are.
But that performance differential between value post that initial recovery and the broad market and the expensive, that's pretty remarkable, I think.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question on this before we move on. How robust were those results? I'm thinking kind of like geographically.
Yeah. So if you were to look, you know, we ran this for the US, for the global, for Europe, and then also for emerging markets, where it actually works better more pronounced. So it's persistent across geographies.
And the EM shouldn't be surprising, right?
No, I mean, when we think about the opportunity set in emerging markets for value and value investing in general, that historically has been a very rich environment. And so it's not surprising that these results come out as well.
This is, you know, the worst period during this kind of analysis you did, I guess that was the GFC. Was that particularly bad for value?
You'd think, but then you go and you look and, you know, it took 16 months peak to trough, so a little bit longer, down 55%, this is for the broader market, and 4.5 years to recover, right? And value at the trough there was 500 basis points worse. It was, you know, similar time frame, 16 months. So we're now talking the depths of 2008. Right, everything was scary. And you know, what's amazing about that is value actually recovered off that bottom in 1.5 years versus 4 for the broader market, right? So what turned out to be perhaps the scariest point in the market turned out to be the buying opportunity of a lifetime.
Mm. Wow, okay. So just to briefly sum up, and there's a couple of charts in this commentary that I like that kind of bring this together nicely, but on average, what we're saying is drawdowns last about 10 months. They have similar results across the styles during this drawdown phase, with value doing a little bit worse, maybe. They take about 15 months to recover, with value recovering about half that time. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years from the peak, that kind of those real pronounced results we just talked about before, It just says that patience makes you money and you do the best by far in value stocks. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's pretty compelling, isn't it? Okay. So, John, as we wrap up, what's next in this series?
Adrian, I think the next thing we're going to talk about is just risk and how do you think about all elements of risk in investing. And for us, you know, if you're going to go through a market downturn with an investment in a company, you really need to understand the fundamentals of the company, the balance sheet, the liquidity profile, and its ability to withstand a cyclical downturn. So I think our next installment is going to be focused on how do you do that? How do you create a culture around that? And really focusing on all aspects of risk in the investment process.
Okay, well, I look forward to doing that with you once the work's done. I think we should probably wrap things up there. I'll just finish by saying that if our listeners do want to go into any more of the information we've just talked about, get in touch with their regular Pzena contact. The article in the newsletter is, I think, thoroughly interesting. It's available from our website on the Insights tab, or you can drop an email to info@pzena.com, or again, your regular Pzena contact. John, thanks for doing this with me. As always, thoroughly enjoyable. Appreciate it. And thanks to our listeners.
Thanks, Adrian.
Take care. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Pzena Perspectives. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And for more insights on value investing, visit our website at www.pzena.com. That's www.pzena.com.